الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. In our Tarbiyah series today we will talk about the importance of حقوق العباد, the rights of the people. Few things to understand. First of all, when you say rights, then immediately the issue of accountability comes in. If somebody has a right on me for something, then I am accountable for that thing. If I am doing something out of the goodness of my heart and it is not the right of somebody, then it is okay. If I do it, alhamdulillah, if I don't do it, nobody can question me. But the minute we talk about rights, then immediately the issue becomes that there is an accountability with the right. And that is why it is very important for us to understand what the rights are. What are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us? And what are the rights of the people on us? Because we will be held accountable for them. So we will talk today about the huquq al-ibad, about the rights of people on us. The first and most important right that the people, meaning the Bani Adam, the Insan, the Nas, the people of the world, all of them have collectively on us, meaning the Muslims. The right that all the people of the world have, collectively have, on us collectively as the Ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah ﷺ, is the right that they should be introduced to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dalil for this is in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." Allah said, "You are the best of people, and you have been extracted and selected for the people. Huququl, you exist for the people. The people have a right on you. You don't exist for yourself. You have been selected for a purpose, and that purpose is such a purpose that it gives you status." It elevates your position. It gives you honor. Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best of people. Why are you the best of people? Not because of your race, not because of your name, not because of your family or tradition or tribe or culture or nationality. You are the best of people because of the job that has been given to you. You are the most honored of people because of the work that was given to you. Because of who you are. And who are you? You are the people who invite towards good. تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You enjoin good, you order good. وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you stop evil. Who benefits when somebody tries to establish justice and there is peace in the land? Who benefits? Everybody. Everybody. When there is somebody who stands up against injustice and therefore justice is established in the land, who benefits? Everyone. When there is someone who stands up against oppression and therefore oppression is lifted and people are freed from the chains of slavery and oppression, who benefits? Everybody benefits. When someone takes a stance in favor of compassion, who benefits? Everybody benefits. And that is the job of this ummah. And that is the right that the people have, the haqq of the ibad, on this ummah, that we establish good, that we establish justice, that we establish a state where everybody will benefit. And the way to do that is, تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a statement, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you believe in Allah. I want to remind myself and you that one of the biggest fallacies that people who think they are doing the work of da'wah, One of the biggest fallacies that they fall into, one of the biggest traps of shaitan that they fall into is that they think that they are guiding others. They think that they are guiding others. They think that they are giving hidayah to somebody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his own Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You cannot guide those you love. Who is a bigger guide than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who is a bigger da'i of Islam than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And to him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you cannot guide anybody. لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide whoever He wants. This ayah is an ayah of the greatest rahmah on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's an ayah of the greatest blessing for us. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you cannot guide those who you wish to guide, this is not a reprimand or something like this. This is taking away the pain and the suffering of facing a fact that people don't listen to me. Allah is saying, don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. That is not your job. Allah will guide who He wants. Don't worry about it. That is not your job. So what is the job? The job is to convey. The job is to convey in the best possible way. Bil hikmati wal mu'izati al hasana. In the best possible way, with great wisdom, with great kindness and softness and beauty, making friends, winning hearts, wal mu'izati al hasana. And then with the best of wa'az, with the best of speech, with the best of reminders, with the best of explanations and examples. But which comes first? The winning of the heart comes first. Illogically, if somebody doesn't even want to see your face, he won't listen to your argument. So win the heart first. To convey does not mean to take something like a stone and throw it at somebody's head. That's not the meaning of conveying. I have dumped. No. Your job is not to dump. Your job is to convey in the best possible manner. Bil hikmati wal mu'izati al hasana. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ عَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Yusuf, say, tell them, this is my way. What is that way? I invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with clear evidence, with proof. He did not say, I drag them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the scruff of their neck, you know. Udu'u ila Allah. Hadhi sabili. This is my way. I invite. It is up to the other person to accept the invitation or not to accept an invitation. It's not the job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have not made you a compeller on them. Laysa alayhim bi jabbar. You are not a compeller again on top of anybody. You are not there to force somebody, no. Your job is to convey. See the hikmat of this in terms of huquq al-ibad. As I said, first of all, we have to understand very clearly, if we are not doing this job, we are accountable to Allah. Simple as that. Because this is the haqq. This is the haqq of the people on us. So if you do not convey, then we are answerable to Allah. Now, how do you convey? In the best possible manner. The problem with walking around with this mistaken impression about da'wah and mistaken impression about our own responsibility, where some people seem to feel that it is their job to guide others, there are several big dangers in this. First of all, it creates a sense of kibur inside you. If I feel I have to guide people, means that I am already guided. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. La hawla quwwata illa billah. This, except for the Nabi, nobody can say this. So, produces kibr. Now, I am better than them. Therefore, it is my job. La hawla quwwata illa billah. We do not know who is better. We do not know who is worse. We will find out when we die. No one knows. No one knows. No one can claim to know. No one can claim to know. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, one of the greatest aimma of this deen, and a person from whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took some very special work. Because it was during that time that this whole fitna of the Mu'tazila came up. And the Khalifa tried to force Imam Ahmad. He tried to force many of the ulama. Some of them succumbed, some of them didn't succumb. They were thrown into jail, they were killed. And he finally came, because Imam Ahmad was the biggest alim. He was the Imam of Masjid Nabawi. He was the biggest alim. So, the advisors of the king, they said to him that you got to get this man to accept. And what were they trying to force? They were trying to force the false aqidah that the Quran is makhluk. That the Quran is a created thing. The Quran is kalamullah. The Quran is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the closest that we will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. The Mu'tazila, on the other hand, and the inheritors of the Mu'tazila, the heirs of the Mu'tazila, the followers of the Mu'tazila are the people today who call themselves Ahlul Quran, who deny the Hadith. Same argument, same logic that they try to apply today. So they said that the Quran is makhluk. And the reason for saying that was, the evil behind it was, that if this is accepted that the Quran is makhluk, then we can change, we can make changes in it, no problem. Because insan is ashraf al-makhlukat. He's the best of the makhluk. Therefore, the human being's position is more than the Quran. So he can change the Quran. This was the evil behind it, their intention. So they came to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. So Abdullah, the son of Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi ajma'in, he says that I have always seen my father. He used to say, may Allah have mercy on Abul Haytham. May Allah have mercy on Abul Haytham. And he used to say that my father, every time he prayed, every time he said anything, he would say, may Allah have mercy on Abul Haytham. May Allah forgive Abul Haytham. May Allah forgive. Imagine, this is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh making dua for somebody. And continuously, always. So Abdullah rahmatullahi alayh, he said, let me ask my father, who is this Abul Haytham? You know, who is, what has he done? What? I'm talking about not looking down on anybody. And not imagining that you are superior to anybody. So, Abdullah asked his father, he said, who is Abul Haytham? You always make this dua for Abul Haytham. Imam Ahmad said, remember the time when the Khalifa sent the army to arrest me and take me to Baghdad. He said, when I was arrested and I was taken, and I was coming out of Medina, he said, as we came into the desert, he said, a man came out from one of the tribes, and he grabbed the bridle of my camel, and he said, Ya Imam Ahmad, ittaqullah. He said, fear Allah, and do not say that which is not the truth. He said, don't succumb to what pressure is being put on you. Speak the truth and fear Allah. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah said, I started crying. And I said to the man, Who are you? He said, I do not fear imprisonment. That is not a problem. Because alhamdulillah, these people, they lived such simple lives that being in a prison was no big deal. He said, if I am put in prison, no problem. Alhamdulillah, I will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the time I am there. And if I die, I die. Khalas. He said, but I am afraid of the pain, if the king orders that I should be whipped or lashed or something or tortured, I'm afraid of the pain. So he said, ask this man, who are you? The man said, I'm Abul Haytham. And who was Abul Haytham? Abul Haytham was known to be one of the biggest criminals of the time. He was a highway robber. So Abul Haytham then says to Imam Ahmad, He says, "Yeah, Imam." He said, "Look at my back." And he turned around and he pulled up his shirt. And his back was crisscrossed with lash marks. His back was like a mesh on his back. There were marks of the whip on his back, hundreds of them. And he says to Imam Ahmad, he says, "Yeah, Imam, only the first one hurts. After that, you don't feel it." And then he says to him, he said, "Yeah, Imam." He said, I commit haram. He said, I know what I do. He said, I steal. I commit haram. But you know, all that whipping. He said, I serve shaitan. But he said, all that whipping never made me leave serving shaitan. He said, how can you leave serving Allah because of the fear of the whip? He said, I serve shaitan. But all that whipping never made me leave my work. He said, how can you be afraid of whipping? And how can you be afraid that will make you leave serving Allah? And Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi said that this man and his advice is what kept me strong. And he said that, alhamdulillah, because of this advice, I remained strong. And that's why I make dua for this man. May Allah have mercy on Abu Laytham. So we do not know who is in front of us. Maybe somebody we consider to be unworthy and a sinner or whoever, Allah knows best. But we don't know what that person does in the quiet of the night. We do not know what that person's position is with his Rabb. Our job, my brothers, is to convey. Our job is to understand that this is the right of the people on us, that we introduce them to Allah. Our job is to do that with hikmah, is to do that with the greatest of sincerity, ikhlas, and to do that with the greatest of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah has given us the best of the work, and that Allah will hold us accountable because it is a right. And that is the reason why if you do this work in that way, then it only strengthens you. Please understand, the work of da'wah is for you. It's not for anybody else. The work of da'wah is like going into the gym. You go into the gym to pump weights. You go into the gym to build your body. You do not go into the gym to build anybody else's body. We do the work of da'wah for us. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying, ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna al munkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa tu'minuna billah. And you have iman on Allah. Why is iman coming at that point in time? Because the more amar bil ma'ruf you do, the more nahi anil munkar you do, the stronger becomes your iman. The stronger becomes your connection with Allah. That the rejection that you get during the day is that which will bring the tears to your eyes in the night. If you did not get rejected, if you had thousands of people listening to you and saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, what a great bayan, what a great whatever, in the night you will not be able to cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be walking around thinking that you are doing great work, but you do not know those thousands of people who listen to your bayan, they just came for the enjoyment, they were entertained, they went home, their life did not change. You do not know this. But it's only when you get rejected, it's only when you are criticized, not because you did haram, not because you violated anybody's rights, but you are criticized because you reminded somebody of what is good. Think about that. You are criticized, why? Because you told somebody, please don't do this because it angers Allah. Please don't be in this company because it is bad company. Please don't do. Why? If he leaves that company, what benefit is it to you? Nothing. If he is in that company, what harm is it to you? Nothing. Why are you saying it? If you did not say that, you would be very popular. Are you such a fool? You have no brains. You don't want popularity. Everybody wants popularity. But you say it only because you fear Allah. You say it only because you are interested and you are really concerned about the welfare of that brother or that sister. And you tell them, please, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the words of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, this life is a moment. Let it be a moment of obedience. He said, this life is one moment. Let that be a moment of obedience. So when you are rejected, when you are criticized, when you are maligned, when your character is assassinated, when you are harmed physically, why? Because you are inviting towards Allah. Because you are saying something which is good for the same people. The person who is hurting you, you are saying something for his own good. It's only that which will bring the tears in your eyes in the night when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's part of da'wah. Tahajjud is where da'wah begins. People forget this. People think da'wah begins on the stage. People think da'wah begins, under the lights. In the great international conference. No. We must avoid those places. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Illa ma sha Allah. May Allah strengthen those who are doing those things with ikhlas. But those are places of great danger. Da'wah begins in the night in standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rejection is what will which will give you the sweetness of that du'a. Rejection is what will connect us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Body builds because we work against resistance. Lifting a weight is what? Is to work against resistance. That is what builds the muscles. If there was no resistance, there would be no benefit. No pain, no gain. And that is why I remind myself and you, the first and foremost right of the people, huququl ibad, and this huququl ibad, we will do it in two or three stages. The first and foremost right that the people have on us is that we should invite them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them, so that they know who their Rabb is. Our job is to invite, our job is not to compel, our job is not to feel sad when people don't listen to us, our job is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stand in the night and cry for those people who rejected us and who tried to hurt us. And that is what will build our iman, that is what will build our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the purpose of da'wah. The individual purpose of da'wah is not to give hidayah to people. The individual purpose of da'wah is to connect yourself to Allah. That's it. The individual purpose of da'wah is to connect yourself to Allah. Lut alayhi salam was the Nabi of Allah, even though his entire community rejected him. He was not able to connect anybody else to Allah. But he was a Nabi because he got connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he lived in such a harsh and horrible time. And he was in a gym when he lifted so many weights, that he connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who was the ummah of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Nobody. Nobody. Which is the ummah of Ibrahim alayhi salam? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kana ummah. He said, my Ibrahim is an ummah himself. Ajib. Ajib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is my Khalil. He is an ummah himself. Why? Because they did the work of for which they were created. And that is why, remember this, never go into the world thinking that you are going to give hidayah. No. We speak and we glorify Allah and we invite towards Allah and we tell people to do that which is good and we tell people not to do that which is evil. Why? For ourselves. Khalas. Ourselves. So that our connection with Allah will improve. Whether those people listen to it, they don't listen to it, that is not our concern. Not our concern. Inshallah, we ask Allah to put it into their hearts, because if they are not listening to it, it is harmful for them. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put it into their hearts, to accept it and listen. But whether they do or they don't do, that's not your problem. Your problem is to convey. And that is the right of the people. And as I said, the issue with rights is that we are accountable for fulfilling those rights. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to fulfill these rights and to reward us in keeping with His majesty and grace and to strengthen us with His power and His authority and with His kalam and His hikmat and to make us means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide others towards Him and connect others to Him, so that this will become a source of our najah on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.